This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, keeping an eye on the building that could just tumble at any moment, Kevin.
Yeah, it's become quite the happening, man.
Mike is watching it as well. You can go check it out on 105.3thefan.com. Shippy is not going to be with us today, as he said he is solely focusing on that building until it comes down.
Hey, guys, checking in from this building thing.
And so he's kind of seeing what's going on there. And right now, Kevin, people are starting to park on the grass lawn
next to it. Yes,
somebody needs to go down there and just be like, hey, this is $10 to park on my property, and start charging people to park. Because nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know that that's not your property.
I'd be like, oh, okay.
There's now a police officer either blocking traffic or directing traffic because it's gotten to be so crazy over in this area on trying to park your car to get out and stand on the grass to watch the building eventually come down.
Did you, Kevin, did you happen to get over there to take a picture with it and like a funnel cake and you, and you're like, it's kind of like Big Tex.
Man, if you have a food truck, that's where you should go park right now.
Absolutely, man.
And I didn't like pretend like I was lifting the building back up. That is a bit I do kind of enjoy. I didn't do that.
I'm going to miss that building, but we'll let you know as soon as it falls. But go to 105.3thefan.com. You can play this song right as they start crushing the building that we all knew existed.
How did we not get Miley Cyrus out here today?
Doesn't make any sense.
Seriously.
The city of Dallas really dropped the ball on this whole thing.
I dropped the ball. The Dallas Stars, Kevin, I know you said that you're not happy with them.
They got embarrassed on Friday.
But they did bounce back.
Yeah, they're setting them up for the playoffs. They're trying to let the Blues have way too much confidence.
Yeah.
What was your take on what happened in Friday night's game against the Blues then?
My take was I was impressed what everyone said in the aftermath of it. Like, Jamie Benn used the word embarrassed, and then their coach was like, look, I obviously didn't do a good job of preparing them to play, but they obviously didn't do a good job of preparing themselves to play either. So I really like that he was just like, I did a crap job, they did a crap job, we all did a crap job across the board, and they got freaking worked by the Blues. And it was unfortunate because I was hoping this was going to be the game. Like, I know it's still the regular season, but they would assert, like, the Stars we're the best team in the Western Conference, and the Blues were like, tapping us on the top of the head. They said, that's cute, but just know where you sit in the pecking order.
And you also said that you would prefer the Stars lose this one if you only got two choices. Lose this one, win in the playoffs, right?
That is true.
It was kind of weird because you really wanted to win this game Friday night. And I was like, that just seems weird that you'd want to win that one more than a playoff game.
Well, yeah, no. That's a questionable strategy.
Not more than a playoff game.
I don't understand.
Like, now you're sitting here, had you won that game, you would be in first place in the West and you would have a game in hand on St. Louis. As it stands, you're in third place now, and Colorado has a game in hand on you. So, like, there's a good gap between you and Winnipeg and all that, and I understand that, and I appreciate the fact that it looks like you're pretty secure in the top three of the Central.
What is Colorado Rockies?
No, not Colorado Rockies, the Avalanche. But I'm just disappointed that you're not sitting at the top today.
How important is having that? I feel like in hockey, help me out, guys, because I know in basketball, it's very important to have home court throughout the playoffs. It just seems like in hockey, there's so many what you'd consider upsets in the playoffs. Do you guys consider having the one seed a big deal?
So for like St. Louis, I do, because their splits are pretty remarkably different this year, and St. Louis is going to want them some home ice. For the Stars, I think their records home and road are almost like exactly identical, or they're really close. They're within like a couple of games. And so their splits home and road haven't been that monumentally different. For St. Louis, That's the only reason they're at the top is because they're awesome at home.
Yeah, I think it's going to pay huge dividends. I mean, like you said, I mean, the road team is just as likely to win that the series. I mean, you go back 4 years ago, I think the Blues were, it was 4 years ago, and the Blues actually took Game 7 on Stars home ice to advance to the next round. So that didn't particularly work out well for the Stars that season. But, I mean, if you can have home ice advantage, I think being the top seed overall would just be most beneficial because you're not playing the Avalanche or the Blues in the first round.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's because that's a team that matches up very well with you. I think that's what it's all about for me most of the time, Kevin. It's about the matchup and how you fare. And if you can get somebody else to eliminate the teams that you don't match up well with, then you figure out how to make that happen. By the way, I'm watching on 105.3thefan.com the wrecking ball situation, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
It's going to take all day. Based on what I'm seeing right now.
I thought they said it would be done by noon.
I've already seen them take 15 swings at this thing. And
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Barely taken out a portion of the top so far. So
you know what I didn't understand is why the demolition company that failed at this kept all their logos and stuff up there. Like, I would have pulled all that stuff down from the site, and anyone driving by is like, oh, so this is the company that doesn't know how to blow up buildings, and that's their job.
And you know what? That must be the reason that instead of just throwing sticks of dynamite into the building from here, they went with the wrecking ball instead. Because wouldn't it have made sense just to throw sticks of dynamite into, like, the doors and the windows?
No! Maybe throw some grenades.
Yeah.
I do not believe that is the modern way.
When's the last time you exploded a building?
Yeah, Kevin.
That's a good point. I might have partially burned down my treehouse when I was a kid, but that's probably it.
I want to hear about that.
Tell me more about it.
Because I was a kid and kids like fire.
Okay. And
I still like fire.
Yeah, see? You get it?
But yeah, so we'll keep an eye on what's going on. But Kevin, it is going to take probably the next 3 hours to knock this thing down.
All right.
If you want to be entertained, then that can entertain you for a little bit.
All right.
The Renegades, Kevin, what did we learn about the Renegades and the XFL this weekend other than ratings keep declining?
Maybe we learned that people are starting to turn the channel. I was also curious because this was their first Saturday game, right? Because I'm pretty sure the other ones, you did the other two on Sunday, and this was the first Saturday game. So that probably has at least a little something to do with the drop in the ratings, but it's not like their games have been the most captivating. If you look at I think halftime of every single one of the Renegades games, you could just tune in, look at the score, and be like, yeah, no, I'm probably okay that I skipped that.
I think it was at some point I saw it was 6-12 and the Renegades were losing, and I was like, people want me to watch this? Like, I can't think about watching this if it's not going to be interesting. But then I guess they turned it on later. But they never scored 12 again. So
I'm just saying, like, if you keep tuning in to this first half and you see Dudsville, then you're thinking maybe I didn't have to see it. But I want to know, like, 877-881-1053, is we had a lot of traction the first couple of weeks, both in terms of responses and social media and everything like that when it came to the Renegades. Did you get your fill? You're like, I saw the home game, I saw the road game, we're all right, now I can move on with my life. Or are you like locked in for the season, hoping we win the championship? Like, I want to know where the Tolos are at.
And Kevin, you know I've been kind of like this the entire time, just kind of out on it in general.
Yes.
But nothing really has changed my mind other than it's football, and that's cool. Like, I like football. I just happen to love NFL football and college football. So
sure,
that's kind of where I stand on that. Mike, have you gotten your Renegades jersey yet?
Nope, don't care at all. Watch Frisco baseball when they tell me to, and those are upcoming prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are guys you're like, hey, 5 to 7 of these guys playing in this game for Frisco will possibly play for the Rangers this year or next year. And I'm like, that's fine. That's great. It's minor league baseball. This is minor league football, and I hope it works out. But this is minor league football with most likely none of them ever playing NFL football again. To me, they're seasons for sports. Football season's over. It's done. It's coming back. We obviously have the combine, and that gets you excited about the potential for future Cowboys and future NFL players.
I have a list of 16 drills that are going to be added to the combine if y'all want to break
those
down.
I don't care about the G League at all. They can do whatever they want in Frisco. It's great. Go watch them. Good luck to Frisco basketball team that's minor leagues, whatever they're called. Frisco Rough Riders, the Dallas Renegades. It's all kind of the same to me. It's minor league stuff. It's cool. I hope it works out for people, but I'm not investing time in minor league stuff.
From the 817, I'm locked in on my only hope or a championship.
Well, with the Stars?
No, they're thinking that the Renegades are the only possibility that their DFW area gets a championship. Because there are less teams.
Yeah, but that's kind of depressing.
It makes
right?
it a little bit easier.
If you've already dismissed the Rangers and like Sean and RJ just got there and they're like, I'm out on that. You're dismissing the Cowboys, the Blues game, you're like, I'm out. The Mavericks' inability to close, you're like, I'm out. It's Renegades or bust.
I will say, I've said this before on G-Bag Nation, I'll say it. If Cooper Rush was the quarterback, if they made it a true minor league,
yeah,
and you had to supply, I don't know how many teams there are in the XFL, but
eight
teams. So you're supplying, each team gets five guys to send to the closest team near you. So obviously the Cowboys would have the Renegades here, is that there would be five players. And if one of those players was, hey, our backup quarterback, who we know very little to nothing about at a level higher than college football, he's going to be one of the starting quarterbacks in this league. I'd be like, hey, I'm going to tune in and see if Cooper Rush has anything. But as long as it's nothing, no offense to Landry Jones, who's never going to play in the NFL again, I don't care. Oh,
we had him on the show once.
He was really cool.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if he does that again.
Good job at OU. Good job for your backup stint with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and congratulations on getting to still play football.
And from the 817, NFL has low-scoring games all the time. Yeah, but it's the NFL. Like, you have to differentiate. You can't say, well, we did that one thing that the league you actually know happened. Like, you can't just say, hell, that movie won an Academy Award. This is a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make me go, okay.
Like, maybe after 30 yards, cornerbacks can't continue to defend. You know, stuff like that that's just going to make it a lot more
what
fun.
What about after 30 yards, there are no rules on how you can defend?
Oh, I like that a
Would
lot.
Would you be in on that? So if you want to go deep, that's fine. But I can karate chop you in the throat if I feel like it.
That would be awesome.
See, and I know the XFL is like, we're not going to do bits, but I've seen their kickoff and their extra point. Like, they're kind of doing bits, so I think you should make it. If you go beyond 30 yards, there are no defensive rules.
No holds barred.
Why wouldn't you want to do bits?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody loves bits. By the way, they have gotten across the top of the building so far, Kevin.
Oh.
Still very minimal damage. Again, this is going to take some time today. I'm looking forward to it.
Would you think it's hilarious if they still couldn't get the building down?
Like, at some point today, they're just like, holy crap.
The building wins.
Banging on this thing all day and nothing's happening.
And they're like, it wasn't your stupid petition. We just can't do it.
It's the greatest elevator shaft in the world.
Yeah.
Also, tonight, so if you want to come see it, what we hope is that building completely demolished, you can swing by here tonight. 105.3 The Fan.
Are we going to demolish our building?
Our intercom studio. No, we're not going to demolish it. We are going to have FC Dallas hanging out with us down in the studio, downstairs.
Wow.
Go to 105.3thefan.com/contest to register right now so that you can come hang out, meet and greet with Paxton Pomacall, Reggie Cannon, Dan Hunt, the president of FC Dallas, and their coach, Luchi Gonzalez. Going to be here tonight, and Kevin and I are hosting this thing, so really looking forward to it.
And one last reminder, today is also the NHL trade deadline. So 2 p.m., that goes down. We will let you know if the Dallas Stars make any moves.
Do we anticipate the Dallas Stars making any moves? Like, I know you can never be sure, but...
Yeah, I would lean to no.
Okay.
Just because of the cap situation there, and they'd have to get pretty creative, but...
But if it does go down, we're ready, right?
Oh, we'll be so ready, and it'll go down for real right here on The Fan.
I just want to point out, people are already starting to text in that they are team building. They don't want the building to fall, so they want the building to defeat the wrecking ball today.
All right.
We need to start a petition.
I absolutely support
team
building.
Is that what those are for?
Building. Yes. Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then as far as tonight goes, I am legitimately excited because FC Dallas people are, we always talk about like what a good deal it is, but if you talk with the guys, people complain a lot about how like athletes don't really care about the fans and they make all of the money. Like if you talk to a lot of these FC Dallas players who, by the way, do not make all of the money, they're really cool about talking with fans and talking with us. And I think if you come out tonight, it's going to be a fun time.
I agree with you, Kevin.
I hope that you would.
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Fury Wilder, the rematch. Got a couple questions. Are you a big boxing fan, and did you watch on Saturday? We will discuss next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Did you see the fight on Saturday night? Where did you go to get it in? And to get the fight in.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was
your feeling on the result of the fight and how everything went down there? Now, Kevin, I ended up going over to Jeff Kavanaugh's house to watch this with the
wife.
Destroyed Sean Sharif in beer pong.
He said it was his partner's fault. Who was his partner?
His name was Mitch, I believe. But
Trubisky?
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky.
Wow.
So that makes sense, right?
He
stood no chance. Jeff and I were on fire. We were calling each other Jordan all night long.
Okay.
But then the fight came. And my wife does not like watching boxing that much. She's just not a huge fan of it. But she was locked in, and she was like, "Wow, what a wild little fight there!" But it went by so quickly, man. It just bam, it was done, and that was kind of my take. Was I didn't expect it to go that quickly and be done with.
Ooh, that is the magic of a heavyweight fight. That is the same thing that he comes up in heavyweight MMA is like. You never quite know how it's going to go.
My dad would purchase all the fights when it was Holyfield and Bo and Holyfield and Lewis and Tyson. And so that's really the last time. And I was more of a kid teenager during that time of boxing. But you would see sometimes, like Deontay Wilder, got rocked in the third round. And he was kind of out on his feet. He was just trying to survive till the bell. And he kind of did. And I've seen other times where Evander Holyfield looked like he was out on his feet. And then maybe the next round, he was just out there to survive. And then the next round, you're like, okay, now here comes Holyfield. He's back. Like he's regained his equilibrium. He's not now just trying to survive. He is now on the attack. And now the other guy's like, oh my gosh, I thought I had him and now I don't have him. But Deontay Wilder, after the third round and getting knocked around, he could never regain his balance and his footing. And I thought Lennox Lewis did a great job on the broadcast. I will say this. I think Joe Tessitore is one of the worst, if not the worst, guys I've ever heard do football.
Okay.
I didn't think he was that bad doing boxing. In fact, I was surprised at one point, like my brain went to, oh, that's the guy who's one of the most pathetic human beings I've ever heard call a football game.
Yeah.
And I don't know how ESPN has him hired to keep doing that. But I thought on the boxing, he did a nice job, and I'm wondering, am I too hard on Tess because he has such horrible people calling the game with him on Monday Night Football, and he could be better if he had people like Lennox Lewis, and I'm forgetting the other guy's name, Ward, I think is his last name.
Andre Ward?
Yes, I thought they did a really nice job too, so I thought, boy, I know this is getting a little bit off topic, but I was like, man, is Tess, would he be better on Monday Night Football if he had average people working with him? Because I thought he was pretty good on the boxing. But getting back to the match, I really enjoyed it because it's what I remember watching boxing be. Because I was, as a kid, my dad would purchase the heavyweight ones. He wouldn't purchase the ones where the little guys would tap, tap, and move around. And for the last 10 to 15 years of boxing, really, if you wanted to watch the premium fights, it was just the tap, tap, move guys. And so there weren't really big moments in those. It would be like, oh my God, he hit him three times as hard as he can. And he's still on his feet because the little guys can't really do what the big guys do. And so I love watching the big guys. I know to the boxing fan that they would say you're not a true boxing fan if you don't love what Floyd Mayweather does.
That's what you just said.
Yeah.
You just said I'm a casual boxing fan.
And I loved it. I loved the seven rounds.
We get into this all the time with the UFC people, Corey. Like, you've seen it. They're like, oh, if you don't think this is an amazing UFC card, you're not a real fan. I was like, no, yes, I am. But this is not does not appeal to the masses. Like, you'll get your hardcore 400,000 pay-per-view buys who they'll be there for just about anything. And then what?
Yeah.
Like, does Conor McGregor draw the most because he's the best fighter? No. So, like,
he's entertaining.
Yes, and he's also a good fighter. And that's, like, maybe the combination.
That's one of the reasons I liked Mayweather-Maidana the two times that they fought, because Maidana was like, I'm just going to go out there and swing.
Yes, you know, like he drew Mayweather into it the first time.
Yeah, he was a boxer, like, or a brawler. He was just out there swinging. But what we saw with Fury, and somebody just texted this in, Fury dissected Wilder like a surgeon. He didn't stand a chance. That's what I think that we saw the best, though, was we saw a guy that really did do a good mechanical job, but also with power, and he used Wilder's power and desire to take that big swing. He used it to his advantage, and that's how he got the win in this one.
From the 4-3-2, it was a circus with the walkout, WTF. I will tell you this. I think that's what you need to a certain extent to appeal beyond, like, your base people. Yeah. Because that took over social media, all right? Like, as much as people were obviously breaking down the fight, like, I think that's two rounds of nothing Fury. Oh, my God, he got a knockdown, blah, blah, blah. Like, Twitter stopped when those walkouts were going on. Like, oh, one dude's coming out on a throne, other dude's coming out looking like, you know, future robot predator or whatever was happening there, or he wanted to be in Daft Punk. It was amazing, and, like, everybody stopped down for that. And that is what boxing needs outside of just the fight, is you need kind of the show to make sure people come back.
Somebody texted in, I miss Roy Jones Jr. And that was the last fighter that I thought was part of the show. Right? Like, okay. That, because he would put his hands behind his back.
I
and he would.
I appreciate you guys.
No, not Roy White. But he'd put his hands behind his back, and he'd, you know, he'd walk around that entire ring as a showman and was also a good boxer in addition to that. So, that, yeah, those were the kinds of things. I thought Tyson Fury was thoroughly entertaining, though.
All right. Along those lines, let's play cut number 9 right here. Here's Tyson Fury, not boxing, but entertaining nonetheless.
Well, I know that I'm in love with you, because I saw you dancing in the gym. We both kicked off our shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. Oh, I barking buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. See, I knew I was out of luck the day the music died.
He's like, thank you. Yes, I have seen something like Tyson Fury. In fact, I've seen it from Tyson Fury before he left the sport. And did you know he put on like 100 pounds during his cocaine-fueled rampage and stuff like that? He has a crazy backstory. You should want to see a 30.
How do you put on 100 pounds doing cocaine?
I don't. He those two like might have all happened in the same like general.
He was laced with sugar.
He thought it was cocaine. It was just sugar.
He's just pounding sugar.
So, but like after he beat Vladimir Klitschko, I believe it was, he sang that song by Aerosmith from Armageddon to his girlfriend or wife, and he's okay. Like, I promised if I won I would do this, and he just took the mic from the guy because he's gigantic and what's that guy gonna do, and he just started singing. So let me ask you this.
Okay. Cool.
Is this the result that boxing wanted or needed? Because I think it was not.
I mean, if he was gonna be on American Idol, then yes.
What a classic.
That would be the approach, because I think he would make it to the next round based on his voice.
I wanna see, I will pay when he fights his next fight.
Okay.
Is he not done though?
No, he said he's gonna fight at least twice, man.
Yeah. I think you're gonna get the next one, he's gonna get the main purse. Right? Because if they do have the rematch. If Deontay Wilder within 30 days says, I want the rematch, that has to happen. And the winner gets 60%, loser 40% from this last match. So that would mean that Fury gets the main part of the purse. I watched a lot of the post game. I was really entertained. I was really entertained. So they were pretty much saying, when it came to the people breaking down all the boxing is that for Wilder, it's going to be tough not to turn it down because of the nowness of our, yep, our society. We want to see it again, possibly. And you can create kind of a big purse, like, hey, okay, this is it, the rubber match. Who wins the final time between them? But they're just saying that he can't win. He's now fought him twice, has only won two to a maximum of four rounds. I did not watch the first one.
He was, and he, it, without the knockdowns, I mean, like, obviously, yeah, that's a huge part of the fight. And he almost stopped Fury in the 12th, the last go around. Yeah. But without those knockdowns, he obviously loses, yeah, that first fight as well. And he definitively lost the second, yeah, fight.
And I was rooting for Wilder the whole time. My buddy Brandon
Watson.
Tell me why. Well, my buddy Brandon Watson is his guy. So the guy in the blue suit with like the black tie and the black shirt, I played baseball with him. In AAA, and so we got to interview Deontay Wilder at least two times, if not three or four times at Super Bowls, because Waddy would bring him around, and he'd be like, yeah, for sure, Mike, you got him. And so I was rooting because he's my buddy managing him, and so I was rooting for him. He seems like a really nice guy. We've got to interview him, know him a little bit, so I was rooting for Deontay Wilder, but by the time we got to the fifth round, I'm like, unless he gets lucky, there's no way he can win. And at this point, he's just defending himself. He's really not trying to throw his big punches. And I didn't know much about him. I've not watched a lot of Wilder, like, whole matches. I just catch the highlights.
Yeah.
I didn't know that all he does is, like, he kind of is a Tyson character on Nintendo.
Yes.
He just loads up,
yes,
to throw the biggest punch you can throw and, yes, does nothing else.
Because, yes, a lot of people are afraid of it. I mean, like, quite honestly, they fear because he has the power. Oh, and he's, yes, and he's athletically fast too. So when he does that, a lot of people are like, crap, here it comes. Fury had the ability to avoid it and to actually counteract it before it even happened.
So there's a couple things here. First of all, from the 817, Kevin, you're an idiot. Boxing does not need dramatic entrances. It's not WWE. First of all, why can't we just disagree? And secondly,
because you're an idiot.
Okay, that's
the way it has to be.
And secondly, here's a hard fact for you if you like really want to compare. WWE is far more popular than boxing. Like, ooh, that's not even debatable. That's a fact. But I'm not saying boxing needs to be like WWE. I'm just saying every now and again, showing a little flash is not a bad idea. And that's what Fury has, which is good. But the bad part is, tell me when the American public has been captivated on a consistent basis by a non-American heavyweight fighter.
Okay, I hear you. So that's why you're saying it got
that's
the wrong
why
result.
I think this was the wrong result.
But isn't Joshua, this is where I don't
Anthony
know.
Anthony Joshua is also British.
Okay.
So
and they're if they're going to fight, they're going to end up fighting over there because he doesn't want to fight on American soil.
Exactly. Unless he, like, there was a big, because Wilder was going to fight Joshua, like, while Fury was on his, yeah, excursion fixing his life and stuff. Which, by the way, good for him for fixing his life. His story is, like, I wasn't making fun of him. I'm saying his story is truly remarkable. But there was a lot of argument about, well, you have to fight in Wembley. Well, we'll give you $20 million extra to come fight in America, because at the time, Anthony Joshua had never fought outside, okay, of England. And so if or when those two fight, it's going to be in Britain. And the people that you mentioned, like you mentioned Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, and you can bring up Lennox Lewis, but I don't know if I would agree with that, because the biggest number Lennox Lewis ever popped is when he beat an over-the-hill Mike Tyson, and that was, yeah, for Mike Tyson, not for Lennox Lewis.
Yeah.
But whether you look at, you know, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, obviously Muhammad Ali, Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, Mike Tyson, like,
it's Americans that we're interested in.
Exactly. So I, okay, wonder if it is, let's say it is Anthony Joshua against Tyson Fury. So, like, definitely, yeah, the two best heavyweight fighters. What is the appeal of that fight compared to this past fight here in America?
Well, I guess if you're going to fight it overseas, it's not going to have the same kind of, at least to me, being casual, it's not going to have the same if they're not fighting in Vegas. I was actually hoping this. And Bob Arum is one of Jerry Jones's people, right? They're really close. And he's the one who has brought big fights to AT&T.
Yes.
Because, and I know, like, Waddy and Brandon Watson, and when you look at Floyd Mayweather's team, and they're all kind of the same. Watson's part of Floyd Mayweather's team, too. He's just not the manager of Floyd Mayweather Jr. Is they want to keep almost everything in Vegas. They want it to be the biggest stage. The biggest stage is Vegas. I was actually hoping there was a possibility, because Arum has Fury, is that there was a possibility that maybe one of the next two fights for Fury would be at AT&T. But I guess that's not going to happen if you're telling me that Joshua has to fight it overseas.
I would be shocked.
Let's just say Wilder goes and fights another fight before a rematch, he's going to want to do it in Vegas, because I know their team and that's where they're at. And then if they have a rematch, it'll be in Vegas. I was hoping maybe we could get a heavyweight championship match at AT&T Stadium.
That would be awesome. In the meantime, don't forget, we'll have Mikey Garcia on the show
tomorrow.
Yeah. He's fighting Saturday against Jesse Vargas out at the Star.
I know this is, it's part of the sport, but man, I was honestly worried and scared for Deontay Wilder that from the third round on, he had a steady stream of blood coming out of his ear hole.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess
his equilibrium is going to be destroyed.
I know he ruptured, at least they're saying, well, he ruptured his eardrum. I'm like, isn't this scary that kind of where your brain is located, there's a few holes that blood can come out of? And one of those holes, there's a steady stream of blood. And I love it. I was scared about it, but I love it watching it, that guys can do that much damage with just one punch. And I was watching earlier, there was like a couple 122-pound guys, and I was watching with my son, and he just couldn't stay awake for the main event. And I was like, look, they just don't punch hard enough to really do much. I get it. They're scoring, and it does hurt. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but he's like, you know, do guys fall down? I'm like, not much at this level. At 120, it's almost impossible for these guys to really hurt somebody.
If you enjoy the numbers aspect of it, it really is fun sometimes to like look at the final punch stats of, like, let's say the Fury Wilder rematch versus the 122 or the flyweights or anything like that. It's astonishing to see the difference in output.
And I don't know, that dude from Mexico is awesome. If you're a fan of whoever that guy is who's supposed to go up in weight class, it's like, man, he's really great, but nobody's ever going down in this thing.
Errol Spence is our next hope, right? Like, that's it.
Hey, I still think there absolutely. Errol Spence showed that he could roll it out at AT&T, and there's a couple of fights for him out there.
I was honestly hoping to see him at the match, just to see him and know that he's doing great and maybe recovering, but I haven't heard much or seen much since the wreck.
Yeah, no, I haven't either. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with former Ranger Todd Zeal, maybe see if he can still play third base. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside my co-host Kevin Hagelin and Mike Bassick. We got Shippy in studio as well. Getting ready to talk to Todd Zeal as soon as we get him on the line, Kevin. Very interesting.
Do you think he could still go? Could we bring him into camp for third base?
Mike, you have played baseball professionally. And you know what it's like to retire and then continue trying and attempting to play. Do you think that he could come back and do it?
No. Simple answer. It's very hard to play Major League Baseball or NBA basketball or NHL. It's the thing. Look at Dez Bryant. I mean, let's just the honest, most likely thing to happen with Dez Bryant is he never plays football again. His time came and gone. His body deteriorated. He still looks good on Instagram and on Twitter and stuff, but that's Instagram and Twitter without playing against other NFL players. It's a short time. There's very few people that get to play sports for a long time. And when you say, well, he's only 31 or 32, you know what? Most careers are over at 31 and 32. And so for Todd Zeal being 54, he'd have zero chance of playing in the major leagues. And I have zero chance of playing in the major leagues.
What about Nolan?
I barely had a chance when I was in my prime.
Nolan could do it though, right?
No.
What do you mean no? Nolan could go out there and pitch nine innings of shutout baseball every day.
I will say this. How about this one?
JD could.
Mm-hmm.
I think Adrian Beltre would have trouble playing Major League Baseball after taking a year off. And that's a Hall of Famer.
Because his hands would be different? Because like his hand speed.
I think that after another year of age and your hand-eye coordination and just your athletic skills deteriorating, that I think... Now, could Beltre kind of come back? Yeah, but his body would deteriorate quick. He would get hurt quick, and I don't think he'd be as effective when he was healthy.
Okay.
It's just life, just the way that we're made. We keep getting, at a certain age, unless you're on steroids, because I've seen guys improve at 35 years old, But most likely, when you hit about 30 years old or 32 or 33, it starts going in the other direction. There's nothing you can do about it unless you take illegal drugs, and then you can kind of stay at a peak performance for a longer time.
What do you think that the illegal drug should be legal then, Kevin?
No, why? It's bad for you. It can do negative things to your body.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
That's it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't...
Hold on, okay. Was that the deciding factor for you to pivot in the other direction? You're like, I was about to be in favor of that, but now that you said that,
Is it worth it, though, financially, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the thing.
Actually, that's a totally different conversation, because, like, I'm pretty sure, Bassick, we have this conversation with you before, is, like, there is a time in your life, correct me if I'm wrong, that there is a time in your life where, essentially, if you wanted to do steroids, like, that opportunity was presented to you, or it was made known that you could go down that path if
right.
you wanted.
Right.
And I have to imagine for some people, they're like, the risk is worth it. I could save right. my career. I could save my family. And, like, especially for some of these players who, you know, we've talked with, like, when we were there when Robinson Chirinos got his contract extension. So a couple people on the team told us, you don't know how big this is, not for him, but for his family. So if you're looking at it from the perspective of, I can get my family out of a crap situation or out of poverty,
yeah,
then don't you like think maybe it is worth it?
Yeah, and those are always tough decisions. And those are always the ones that if you talk to former baseball players, especially with the steroids, like, look, it made sense for certain guys. You know, and I hate throwing guys under the bus, but he was on the report. Like Gary Matthews Jr., right? I mean, me and Gary played together here with the Rangers, and he was a 4A player like me, struggling to stay in the major leagues, and then he decided to go down that path. And then he got a 5-year, $55 million contract from the California Angels, Anaheim Angels. And you look at that and you say, you know, if he would have never gone down a path like that, would he have been like me? Would he have just kept going up and down and never really establishing himself as an everyday player? And he ended up getting $55 million contract. He's a great guy. It's always weird for former players. They're like, you know what's weird is when a guy like Barry Bonds and I don't know when, like Sammy Sosa, like let's say started doing them. But if you're already an all-star and already making good money, that's always kind of when players are like, you needed to go to the next extreme of like, I got to become the greatest player because I'm not satisfied with just being an all-star.
Yep.
But when players are sitting there in AAA for 2, 3, 4 years and still can't establish themselves, sometimes it's really tough because you're like, man, I've tried it clean and I've tried it for 3 years and I can't establish myself. What if I just go down the path of this and let me see if this can get me over the top?
So I know obviously we've spoken in some generalities, but I am really curious. I'm sure you've discussed this before, but we haven't had a chance to discuss this before with you. Was there like one specific moment that you can think of where it wasn't just a theory anymore? It was like right in front of you and you saw the path where you were like, I can go down this path or I cannot.
I knew the people, I knew the teammates that I could call that had done them or were doing them. So that's where I knew that I could just make phone calls to friends and say, hey, I'd like to try this. Can you help me out in this situation? And knew that I would get the help. But the time where I really was like, look, this is it, do or die, is after the 2007 season, I couldn't throw a baseball 40 feet in the air. It hurt so bad. And I wasn't getting any better through physical therapy. And I just thought, man, we are now in mid-December, and I'm not getting any better, and it's in January, and I can't barely throw a baseball without complete and total pain. And so I just thought, well, what if I take steroids, and could that make me strong enough to not have the pain in my shoulder that I'm having? And I decided, luckily, I found a chiropractic guy who had worked with the Texas Rangers before.
What if you hadn't? Like, what went into that decision-making process for you?
To not do it,
yeah.
Because I went to this chiropractic guy who started readjusting my body, and within 3 to 4 days, I was able to play catch from 60 feet without pain, without like almost wanting to cry pain. And so I'm like, I think I can do it because I really didn't want to do it. And so once I was starting to be able to play catch from 60 feet without pain, I'm like, oh my gosh, the pain is pretty much gone away. I can manage this pain. I just can't manage the pain that I had before, and it just kept gradually getting a little bit better. that I was like, okay, I don't have to go. I don't have to make these phone calls. I think I'm going to be able to throw a baseball.
The from the fan text, somebody said, Kevin, that Michael Jordan left basketball and came back and won three championships.
That's because he got suspended by the NBA.
He did not get suspended by the NBA, Kevin. Oh, he went. He wanted to pursue his baseball career.
Yeah. The roof. It can't happen.
The most competitive person in the history of sports was like, that's fine. I'm tired of winning championships.
It can happen. And there's no 100% in anything except like death. We're all going to die.
Yeah, we saw Jason Witten leave for a year and come back. But he had to prove to himself.
And he was worse.
He had to prove to himself, though, that he could make it through a workout. He was like, if I can make it through a workout, then I can do this. A week's worth of workouts. Yeah. And he went and worked out for a week. And he was like, okay, I still can do something like this. And then, now Dez Bryant. We're watching Dez Bryant right now try to tell people every day, I can play in the NFL again. I can do it again. It's not the same role. And that's something I think that becomes, Mike, for the best athletes, difficult to say out loud is I'm not going to be as good as I was, but I still have the passion to play and I want to be able to go out and compete, because Tiger Woods is not as good as he was,
right?
Because that he was elite, and right now he's a really good golfer and that's about it. But you know, Kevin, we talk about the psychology of the, well, I mean, my mind knows all this stuff, just like with Romo. My mind knows what all the coverages are, but can I get my body to stay healthy long enough for it to happen? And that's just, you know, you see, even Michael Young, his hands got a little bit slower, and he had to admit, all right, this is time for
me. I was told by kind of an older retired baseball player at one point, the toughest thing about retiring or nobody wanting you to play anymore is you've gotten smarter at the game than you were 5 years before, than when you were in your prime. You're like, the tough thing is like, gosh, I understand the game better than I've ever understood it, and now my body is failing me, as in I can't accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. Like Michael Young, for example. Michael Young could kind of still play, right? But he wasn't the same. He knew that he wasn't an extra base hit guy. He couldn't pop the ball out of the park as much as he used to do. His skills were deteriorating. He could still play Major League Baseball. His brain was probably functioning at an all-time high and understanding what the pitcher was trying to do, the situations and everything. He's probably like, man, I'm surviving in the major leagues and I'm successful at popping the ball hard the other way for base hits because I know when that pitch that I can handle is coming, that I'm going to hit that pitch. And he probably thought, boy, what if, and this is just the way life is, what if you had those skills brain-wise, those mental skills, at 22 to 26 years old,
you would be the best pitcher of all time.
Right.
Now, quick setback.
Not me, but,
yeah, well,
but people,
I mean,
that had the skill.
I'm not going to rule it out.
I believe in you, Mike.
So, got some breaking Rangers news for you. I mean, I know they said the rotation is set. You were hoping some of the young kids would make a run at it. One of those young kids that will not make a run at it, Brock Burke. He has a torn labrum. He will be out for the entirety of the 2020 season. So if you're hoping to get a good look at him in spring training,
well,
he will.
There goes baseball nuggets. I've come to talk with you again.
Segment is canceled. We will not elaborate on that at all in baseball nuggets.
Is this not amazing? That the Rangers can, even if they don't draft him and develop him, the people,
he'll still get hurt.
The people, when you go to Taylor Hearn had a pretty healthy career with the Pirates in the minor leagues. As soon as the Rangers trade for
Mrs.
him
Hearns?
In the Keone Kala trade, he pitches one game in the major leagues and it doesn't go well. And then he can't pitch the rest of the season. Brock Burke gets traded in help me out here. What the little shortstop kid, Profar.
Oh, yeah. Just call him the little shortstop kid.
Wow.
And so it's like, all right, hey, and this hell? Is going to, and he comes up and he pitches, and there's moments where he did, you know, decent, and you're like, okay, he needs more time probably in the minor leagues. And now he gets hurt. There has to be a jinx. There's a jinx on the Rangers. I can't totally blame this on John Daniels and the coaching staff. I do think they play a role in like guys not developing, guys consistently getting hurt no matter what background they come from. But son of a gun, there's a jinx here with the Rangers and their young pitchers that they can't figure out how to stay healthy.
And it is unfortunate because, like, not that not all teams need pitching to excel, but the Rangers have been one of the worst franchises in Major League Baseball at developing young pitchers. And that has led to a variety of problems. Yeah. And when they keep getting hurt, I know they're like, well, what are we supposed to do?
Eventually,
I don't know.
They came to a conclusion of if we don't pitch them, they won't get hurt.
That's what we're going to be
sitting
here doing.
That's what they did. And then the dude, and I'm drawing a blank on their, there was the 15th overall
pick.
It's
still Jerickson Profar.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be every time from now on.
It's just like, hey, if we don't pitch him, he can't get hurt. And I'm like, he also can't get better at pitching. And now they found out that the kind of we're not going to pitch him also doesn't work either.
Well, I don't know what other option to do, Mike. If we pitch him, he gets hurt. If we don't pitch him, he doesn't get hurt, but he doesn't get better. If you have a magical other option where we can figure out where he can pitch, get better, and not get hurt, I'm all for that because I don't know what else to do.
It will still be coming up somewhat in Baseball Nuggets, but you can look at the run sheet here. I have written out as part of my Nuggets, Palumbo versus Allard versus Burke. I can take out one of the
cross off Burke off the list. He's not going to make it.
I like Allard based on what I saw last year. The one thing he had like super high energy and it kind of exhausted him throughout the game.
Right.
But I just haven't seen enough from Palumbo to have a good feel about what he actually is. He might be the better future pitcher, but from what I saw from Allard, I was like, yeah, give me that every time. Because I liked his curveball. He went back and refound it again. And he had good velocity on his fastball. I mean, you get a pitcher out there doing what he's doing that age. I'm excited.
Well, my tease is, without Brock Burke, I don't care what he does now in spring training because he won't be pitching till next year, is I do think it matters a lot what we see from Palumbo and Allard in spring training.
Is there any chance that, like, let's say
nobody... And I guess Taylor Hearn. I'll just replace Burke with Hearn.
If nobody else got hurt, could you see something from there, from those any one of those three, that they're like, all right, you're in?
No.
Why?
But
why?
Because you have five veteran guys on guaranteed contracts. And so they're not, that's what they're going to be.
That money's already spent. You don't get it back.
Well,
just
but they're
not
bad guys. It's not like a Ruggiero Odor situation where you're like, hey, so what? They've been bad. I mean, these guys have come off of pretty decent 2019 seasons, or for Kluber, a two-time Cy Young guy.
Sure.
So you give them the ball to start the season, but, you know, getting into my Nuggets for just a second is the likelihood of all five of your veteran starting pitchers all being healthy and ready to start the season is probably 65%.
Okay.
That gives these guys, whoever it is, a 35% chance of making the team based off of it's not a just everybody is healthy usually at the end of spring training. Usually out of your starting five pitchers, one guy is struggling with something. And hopefully not a big thing, just struggling with some sort of bicep tendonitis situation or had a setback in spring training and they had to shut him down for 2 weeks. So he might not be ready to start the season. So these young guys still have a chance, but they do need one of the five veteran guys to be hurt.
So Brock Burke, labrum tear, he will be out for all of 2020. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, did the Mavs sit Luka and KP on Saturday to ensure they always play together? We'll discuss next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.